Hello and welcome to Taking Care of Business. I'm Jackie Mitchell. Today we discuss, the most misunderstood trend in business, social media. So today's expert panel, and we're going to have a talk about the word expert in social media because that is contentious in itself because things change so quickly, but they are going to help us untangle this web of social media. And today's show is made possible by our understanding friends at eView Real Estate. Our first panelist has headed up social media and digital departments for Australia's leading agencies and is currently National Head of Strategy and Products at Columbus Agency. Marcus Betchell, welcome.
Thanks. Great to be here.
Good to have you here. Now, you have been head of digital, head of social media. I'm interested. You look at titles now, and who would have thought 20 years ago there was a title head of social media? You would have gone, what's that? You know. So you've been around doing that at quite a high level. What changes have you seen, say, in the last couple of years? Because it's changing so quickly.
Yeah, for sure. Look, I mean, much like the topics that we're going to be discussing, it's been people understanding the role of social media within the wider digital landscape and then within the media landscape and understanding how all of those channels come together to make holistic planning, strategy and work together so we get greater efficiency, reach more people and have something interesting to share on those channels.
Now, National Head of Strategy and Products, What does that mean?
Yeah, look, I think what that means is it's the understanding that social media now relates so well to other digital products. It's understanding how data comes together. There's so many different suppliers of different social media platforms, but also from a search perspective, and data is becoming more and more important. And so all of those different elements of products available to our clients in the agency, we need to understand what they are, be able to present them way in advance, see what's coming over the horizon, but also from a strategic point of view, make sure that they're working together so we drive better efficiency of spend.
That's a key element, the strategy. So a lot of people, I think, particularly small business, tend to use social media almost reactively. There doesn't seem to be a huge amount of strategic thought. Is that your experience?
Yes and no. I think, you know, even going back to the days when search first arrived, people flocked to search and search became a natural starting point. And similarly, when social media came, a lot of people went straight to there and wasn't a lot of strategic thinking. But I think in the last 2 years, we've seen a lot more. I think you see a lot of businesses, both large and medium, applying a lot more strategic thinking and really accountability because of the data that's available coming out of the platforms. And now I guess the challenge is to see small and medium businesses start to do that in a more consistent way.
Just to dumb things down a bit, I always like to do this. The term platform, can you explain what that means?
Look, the way I use it, and again, it's interchangeable because I think a lot of people have a lot of different conversations. But when I talk about platforms, I guess I'm talking about the social media platforms like Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, Snapchat. It's just a simple way of differentiating between those. And when I talk about channels, I'm talking about social media as a channel or radio or television. But, you know, I've been involved in conversations with lots of different people where they might use different terminologies. Those are the ones that I use.
Okay, good. So it's always good to establish that. When you're dealing with clients, what are some of the most frustrating questions that you get from clients in regard to social media?
Oh, gosh, that's a challenging one because I feel like there's a very broad spectrum. I think one of the most challenging is that they want high accountability and great data when they don't have amazing data to put in themselves. Right. I think, you know, you're going to get the most out of any type of digital platform when you start with your own strong data going in. And also, I think it's about looking for a level of understanding and accountability from what you've placed on social media, which you don't apply to other things. So when they say, I've got great reach on newspapers, that's wonderful, but you don't really know how many people saw that ad on page 47, but you do know how many people saw your social media ad. And so the frustrating question is when they're trying to compare like for like, when there's not the same type of distribution or accountability of view.
So do you find that clients are integrating social media? So are they, you'd mentioned traditional advertising, say newspaper advertising. Are they integrating social media into their other marketing channels, or do you find that it sort of sits separately?
More and more, the goal is to absolutely to integrate it. I would say the biggest challenge of that right now is from a creative viewpoint. I think from my perspective, and there may be people that would disagree that are listening, but I think the biggest challenge right now facing social media, in our country at least, is the creative aspect and creative agencies or creative consultants, because what is difficult to integrate is the fact that if I create a standalone print ad or even TVC for businesses that have larger budgets, you can't just slap those on social media and expect the same type of output. And we aren't seeing a big commitment so far from communities really investing in made-for-platform content. You know, you go to other countries, and we mentioned, I think a couple of the guys here have been over in the States, there's a lot more made-for-platform content in other countries than we have here. And that, of course, will absolutely affect the saliency, the ROI, the absolute cut-through that we're seeing. And so, you know, the plan is to integrate, but the output isn't always available to do that.
Okay, now I'm glad you mentioned the US. I know that you've just come back from a trip there. Mm-hmm. So they are leading the world in social media. Would that be a reasonable assumption?
I think in a lot of ways, yes. I think Europe also is really similarly close behind. Canada as well, doing really well. It's just, I think the scale's there, the volume of people are there to carry a lot more brands, a lot more products, so there's a lot more money running through there. But it's the understanding that if there's going to be a strategy or there's going to be a commitment to the channel, it needs its own output. And they realise there's a lot of revenue that can be driven through social media, so there's been a much faster uptake. And, you know, you see things like even Donald Trump's effectiveness on Twitter. They understand that channels or platforms can have a really big difference to the mindset of consumers and the conversation that's happening in mainstream media.
While you're in the US, I know that you had access to places that a lot of people want to go. And one was you got into Facebook, you had a meeting there and a meeting at Google. Is that right?
I was at Twitter and Facebook this time. Look, I'm very lucky in my job that I've been able to go to those places. But you know, 99.9% of the time, it's absolutely for work meetings, for outputs, for training, for all those types of things. And it's a great privilege, but it's also a lot to learn, because there's always development happening there, and there's a very high volume of business being done.
Yeah, we're going to talk a little bit more about Facebook and Twitter and your experience. But our next panelist, actually, there is a Facebook link there, because I know that she recently got back from the US, and then she tried to break into Facebook. She actually got in, but then she got kicked out. She is a social media strategist. She's a speaker and podcaster from Impactivate, Lauren Bartley. Hello.
Hi, Jackie.
Tell us, how did you sneak into Facebook? How did you do it?
It was actually a bit of an accident. I just went there to get my photo at the front with the thumbs up sign. And walked around the facilities. And then I just was following a group of people, and they opened up a door and I followed them through and didn't realize that I'd walked in the front door of Facebook. But I was promptly asked whether or not I was with the party in front of me, and they kind of said no, she wasn't. And then they said, oh, you can't be here. And I was like, well, I don't care, I've been inside Facebook, this is pretty cool. And then walked back out the door again.
Was there anything that you picked up from that when you went into reception? So that first impression, I'm always interested in receptions of businesses, particularly of that caliber. Was there anything cool or different that they had in reception?
I'd say it was pretty low key, to be honest, but you could see through. It's a massive campus there, and you could see through to the middle of the campus, and you could see the bikes that everyone's riding around, and it was pretty cool facility is what I could say.
Now let's speak to the expert over here. Marcus, what was your experience going to Facebook as a business, as a company?
Yeah, I mean, look, I've been a few times for a few different types of meetings. So I've been with a large group of people where we had multiple sessions throughout the day, and I've been just for one-on-one type things. And, there's different areas that you can access and different different entrances. And look, what I found there is that everybody seems to be genuinely happy. I mean, the weather's wonderful out there, and that makes a big difference, I think, to the way the day-to-day runs. But yeah, Lauren's correct in the sense that it's a really big compound, and there's lots of people congregating around different restaurant areas, different hubs and different workspaces. And I think my understanding is the ethos there is very much that you can work where you're going to be most productive. And there's a lot of people having meetings or walking meetings. My understanding is that Mark Zuckerberg Zuckerberg does a lot of walking meetings. I've been told that before. They've got like a gaming area. They've got lots of different things there. But the whole ideology is that it'll allow people to work to the best of their ability. There's a very good vibe around there.
I like that vibe. Now, speaking of vibe, Lauren Bartley, you just got back from a social media conference. Was it in San Diego?
Yeah, Social Media Marketing World. It's the third year that I've been there. I'm actually part of the event organising team as well. So I got to see both sides of the fence. And I actually had the best job there because my job actually finished the minute that the conference started. So I got to then be a delegate and just suck up all the education and meet with all the awesome people. And it was just an amazing experience.
So what was your key takeouts from that?
Okay, so there's quite a few things from the point of view of social media and the direction that it's going. It is definitely, and we've been seeing this over the last couple of years, it's becoming more of a pay-to-play environment. So if you're going to be using social media, you need to be using it strategically. You can't just be doing, you know, random acts of Facebook advertising, for example. Mm. You need to look at how you can be doing it, where you can be actually creating warm audiences and then promoting back into those warm audiences and using budget to do that these days if you want to get the reach cut through and conversions. So there's that element of it. And then another element of it that actually took me by surprise at this conference was they were talking a lot about artificial intelligence. And it wasn't something I was expecting to hear at a social media conference. I would have thought that would be more something, you know, at a more broader digital conference. But it's been embedded through a lot of things that we're doing these days through chatbots. You know, at the moment, Facebook Messenger already allows us to have some canned responses that we can call upon when we're responding to people. But this is taking it to the next level where you could be completely removed from the conversation within Facebook Messenger and have a bot responding on your behalf instead, which I can see can have great application for a lot of businesses.
That's interesting. Was it, what's the next big thing? I remember, was it last year it was Periscope?
Yeah, well, there wasn't right? really a platform. I think the next big thing really was the artificial intelligence here. Right. Okay, that was it. And then actually another thing that I really took away from this was just the different types of apps and you know, different software that we can be using to create our content more efficiently and create more engaging content. Mm. You know, mentioned before in terms of things like, you know, video and making the video fit for the purpose, using tools like one of the tools that I wasn't familiar with before I went there was Wave by Amatron. And it's a great tool that people can just go on a relatively low budget and create really professional looking videos that they can share on social media. And that's a tool that I took away from the event that I'm now starting to play with and create some pretty awesome things as a result of that.
Oh, great. Well, we're going to, when we come back from this break, we're going to talk more about what Lauren learned at her conference. Also, we have Marcus Betchell here and we're going to talk, pick his brains, because I love picking your brains, Marcus. it's such a fertile ground. But we're also going to talk in more detail about, I suppose, the biggest business application or platform, to use the right terms, for business is LinkedIn. We have a LinkedIn professional. We're also going to talk about Instagram, the rise and rise of Instagram, and also we can't ignore Facebook. So we're going to talk a bit more about that with some key tips. You're listening here to Taking Care of Business exclusively on RPFM. We'll be right back after this. Welcome back to Taking Care of Business. We are heading in the right direction as far as untangling social media. I have here in the studio a wonderful panel. You've met two of them already, Marcus Betchell and Lauren Bartley. Our next guest is someone I am been so looking forward to chatting with. She is a LinkedIn trainer from Perfect Boom. Bonnie Power, welcome to Taking Care of Business.
Thank you, Jackie.
The name like Bonnie Power, I thought, well, I have to meet this person. And then I've got a LinkedIn trainer. It all just fitting. Perfect Boom is the name of your business. Tell us a little bit about that.
So we are helping businesses to really leverage the power of LinkedIn to build up their brand and then to reach out to their clients through lead generation activities in a nutshell.
So let's just talk about lead generation. Just explain what that is and how businesses can use LinkedIn to promote that, I suppose.
Yeah. With the way that social media is turning these days, people really like getting information and educational content. So they don't like being necessarily sold to, but people sort of earn their stripes and they earn their respect through giving really helpful information. And when someone gets recommended or referred, you know, from offline through our business network, what we sometimes do is we Google their name, and oftentimes it's the LinkedIn profile that'll come up. So when people click on that, I want them to see a really great looking profile where they've got lots of articles that really show their thought leadership, help their ideal type of client with the general bare bones of giving them valuable information so they can make an informed decision.
Okay, so when people are looking at new businesses, they quite often want to know who's behind the business. That's your point, isn't it? So that, yes, they'll Google, say they're looking at Perfect Boom, and they think, what is this business? Who is this person? And they go and look up Bonnie Power and find that they Google that, and it comes up quite high LinkedIn. Is that due to algorithms that LinkedIn use?
So yeah. LinkedIn is very strong with algorithms. That's why it's so good to know.
Yeah, okay. So if someone's looking at a business profile, I'll go back. Is it important to have a business profile as well as a personal profile?
It is for the brand. So right. Even if there's not a lot of new content, you could literally make sure you've got a company page with your logo, and then connect your personal profile to that company page. And the big reason is because you want your logo just to appear in the experience section. So when they're looking down, they're scrolling down where you are, what you're doing, they can see that logo, and it looks more professional rather than just having that grayed out icon there.
Okay. So if someone's on their personal LinkedIn, which I suppose is a bit more popular, particularly for small businesses and entrepreneurs, which we have, most of our listeners are, they have an individual profile. What are some tips to help improve that?
Yeah, so that's a great question. So there's two parts that they should really concentrate on. And like any web page, the search engine optimization is the first thing that they should take a look at. So they should know maybe the first 3 to 5 keywords that someone would use to plug into Google to find someone with who offers their type of product or service. Mm-hmm. And then they need to have the big bullseye target keyword in their headline, which is the little tagline that appears just underneath their name.
Okay, which is like the descriptor of who you are.
Yes, yeah. And that's really important, because when someone's searching, say, for an accountant in Melbourne, if the word Melbourne accountant comes up in their headline, then their profile will come up to page one.
Okay.
So that's a huge tip. And then underneath the summary section and all through the experience section, be using those keywords. So once you know your keywords, the next thing is to put into a conversational style that builds up the credibility and the likability. So you can't just have a stilted tone like your website might have. It's more about creating rapport, so having a conversational style when you're describing yourself. And what I always say with that summary section, you've got about 2,000 characters. That's your chance to really connect with your ideal type of client. And that's where you say, these are the types of clients that I love to help. This is why I love doing what I do. And perhaps even copy and paste the testimonial of, you know, 2 or 3 of the ideal type of clients, put it into your summary section, and then talk about the types of problems that you help them overcome through your products and services. And that's speaking their language.
Yeah. So when you're doing your own little profile, your own little bio, actually it's probably more of a bio, should you write it in the third person or the first person?
You don't write it in the third person. So you can say I and our company, and I'm proud to, you know, da 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 da. Because that's building rapport, because it's a social media platform. So it's you're connecting person to person.
Okay, that's it. Now, is LinkedIn Premium worth it? Because LinkedIn's free.
I know.
But basic. And I've even looked at Premium, and I'm not convinced yet it's worth it.
Yeah.
Why is it worth it? You think it is?
Yes,
it is worth it.
Only because if you can do Premium, it's like $60 a month, so you do the business Premium. Mm-hmm. It's such a good investment, because it's like the world's biggest Rolodex. So if you know who your ideal type of client is, or your type of referral partners are, you can use this advanced search function of LinkedIn, and then you can actually say, tell me the name of every you know, business group, business networking group in Melbourne, and you can use the keywords and you can say this, and the size has to be between 11 and 50 staff. And so if you want to, if you know the sort of the demographics of your ideal type of client, and it'll just present you with this awesome list, and you just go through there and you connect up with all of these second degree connections, and you want to build up your business network, and then you want them to become familiar with your feed, you know, be sharing really good relevant content, let them see the articles that you're uploading. And then about 4 to 6 weeks later, you start sending them nice marketing related, not salesy spammy messages, but just getting to know you sort of messages. Yeah. And that builds a really good start to a relationship.
I know my other panelists here will have a lot of questions of you, which we will address in the second half hour. I want to talk about advertising. I want to talk about articles versus posts, lots of things about LinkedIn. But I also want to talk about Instagram. And our fourth panelist today is an Instagrammer. I don't know if that's a word or not, but anyway, it sounds right. She's a PR copywriting writer and founder of Mornington Peninsula Bloggers Forum, which is interesting because that's something we would never have heard of a number of years ago. From your coastal connection and friend of the program, Andrea Rowe. Hello.
Hi, Jackie.
Hello. Now, Instagram, how is Instagram different from Facebook?
Look, it really is a visual storytelling platform. And from my perspective and from the perspective of other people that I work with, they feel that they actually have a great sense of ownership with publishing their story and presenting their story. It's actually, I find it a very liberating platform for small businesses and brands. You're really able to look at how you're evolving that story, adding different aspects of the personality and your story. We're always talking about stories in social media, but that's what it is. And you're really able to add different elements to your story. It's not just it's multifaceted. You're able to tell behind the scenes stories, client interaction stories, aspirational stories. So you really are publishing your own magazine as a brand in many ways on Instagram.
Using Instagram. And why can't you do that on Facebook?
Look, there's a lot happening on Facebook. There's a lot of copy on Facebook. Of course, purely in the first instance when Instagram was evolved, it was very visual. We are telling and adding more copy to our Instagram posts, but first and foremost, it's a visual image that hits you in the face if it's a good image. So there's a great opportunity to tell, a picture does tell a thousand words, a thousand stories, so it really does achieve
And
that.
We're reading a bit less because we're being bombarded. It's our little brain trying to busy, cope and filter.
Exactly. We've got busy lives. Yeah. So we actually need you to tell me that story. Tell me what your business can do for me or what your venue can do for me in just one image. And it can be as simple as a milkshake with a view in the background or, staff packing a charity box or something like that. So it actually gets to the core of what are you about? What can I experience when I'm with you and interacting with you?
So you think Instagram's really useful for small businesses?
I find it tremendously useful. I work with a lot of tourism businesses. Mm. Of course, there's a lot of aspiration, a lot of visual connection happening there. It tells your story very, very quickly. In the old days, we had lots of brochures sitting on the table. People would walk into travel agents to pick up brochures and information, and that was all very visual. Instagram, you can actually go straight to this platform and have a look at the entire range of what my interaction is.
What if your business isn't very visual? Say you're a law firm or an accounting firm and it's not, lending itself to visual imagery. Is Instagram still relevant?
I say to every client, you need to walk through your door as a new person and look at your business. I worked with a dentist the other week and I walked through his door and I said, you've got this amazing healthy carrot stick jar sitting on your bench. That is a visual story. That is telling me, you're not just about giving lollies to the kids, you're about giving carrots. You know, there's lots of, you've got to actually walk through your business and look at things that people might remark on a day-to-day basis. We might say, oh, look at that picture, that's amazing, or wow, you've got stand-up desks. What you think might be very boring is actually visually a part of your story. It's a part of you representing yourself. So you need to actually almost step back and bring a friend into your business and say, what do you notice? What do you see? Even something like a pile of papers meticulously filed on your desk, or Sandra the receptionist, that's that's an opportunity for you to capture your story.
Yeah, so that's some people. Yeah. It's wonderful.
I think for me, one of the important things is when you say, is it relevant for small to medium business? One of the things I encourage people to do is not lose sight of the fact of the basics of like marketing, which is to really do an audit and work out what the lowest hanging fruit would be. So maybe for a business like you're talking about, Jackie, LinkedIn might be the greatest place to start, but for another small business, it might be Instagram, and another one, it might be Facebook. I mean, one of the ones we've done recently for a major client is to literally sit down and do a full audit of all platforms versus what they're trying to achieve and give them an order of priority. And once we tick off number one and start to see some great ROI, then we enter number two. And especially, I know from working with multiple small businesses, they're not going to have the time or resource to really be able to hit everything at once. So is Facebook going to be the greatest for them? Let's take the dentist. It might be an awesome carrot jar, but they might get a much better radius of local area targeting through Facebook and be able to get that working for them and then enter into Instagram. And so it's not that all of these platforms couldn't be great for all businesses. It's just where are they going to start and what's going to give them the best return on investment.
Yeah, as you can see, Andrea, Ro, can you hold that thought? Because we do need to take a break. But as you can see, our panel is just getting warmed up and I can't wait for the second half of this show. You're listening to Taking Care of Business. We'll be right back after this. Welcome back to Taking Care of Business. Yes, social media and knowing what to do and how to use it in your business can certainly make you crazy. We are talking about untangling social media today with our expert panel who are now getting very warmed up and we're going to have a very fun, robust discussion today. I'm here with Marcus Betchell, Lauren Bartley, Bonnie Power and Andrea Rowe. And just before the last break, Andrea Rowe, I had to get her to hold her tongue. But so now, Andrea, and you're holding that thought and you're doing such a good job holding it.
Only holding it in excitement.
Yeah, I know.
We're on a roll now. But I was going to say to follow up on Marcus, of course, if you do decide that Instagram is your platform, to really to not be, I guess, shy about claiming your space and interacting there. So really do your research about your hashtags, about the key influencers that you should be connecting with, about the key influencers that you actually want to bring on board. Start engaging on their platform from your business Instagram account and really think about your bio as well and how you're actually shaping that to reflect your business or whether you're actually funneling them back, sending them back to other market funnels in your business as well.
You'd agree, wouldn't you, that really to be able to do that properly, they really need to understand who their ideal target customer is. Or
absolutely.
Consumer.
And that takes homework, definitely.
Look, and I think that's one of the good things for people to know. And that's what I think you would all agree is exciting about social media is it allows the opportunity to test and learn. And so one of the key basics that I say to brands and businesses and clients alike is let's build into some type of strategic approach, the ability to test and learn. And so even making the decision on who your consumer is, if you don't have big money to do research or don't have the availability, you can technically do research through social media, maybe run a small piece on multiple platforms, see which one responds best, but also see what data comes out of it to tell you about the consumers that are responding best. Challenge of that is the variables are great because it could depend on what you're advertising, what the deal is, what the picture is on Instagram, but it should start to help you understand the shape of your consumer base.
Yeah, good point, Marcus. And I think also that we've got to also think about you don't have to recreate the wheel every time you want to use each platform. You can have one core piece of content that then you repurpose, you split apart for Instagram, or you make a nice infographic, or you have the you have the long form blog post for LinkedIn and then you make it a short little summary for Facebook and then you see what attracts what, like what type of clients are responding to what platforms, and then that sort of shapes you. So you create one piece of content and then you dissect it into like 17 different ways.
I want to talk about hashtags. I get asked, what is a hashtag and why use it and what's the purpose of it? Andrea Rowe?
Well, hashtag is essentially a topic, a thread of conversation that you can jump in on. It's a theme that you can be a part of. It's a word that you can use to search and that you can use to be a part of communities.
And so you can create your own words, can't you? Hashtags?
You can. You don't own that hashtag, of course. No one owns a hashtag. There's been some famous situations in the world where that hashtag has actually been sabotaged for some rather interesting events. I've worked on a minister's government launch where the hashtag was something that was rather spicy in America at the same time. So, you know, you do have to research your hashtags, but also be aware that you don't own them. But you can have a lot of fun with hashtags. Sometimes people have too much fun and get too clever, and it actually really dilutes the purpose of your campaign. But, you know, sometimes a hashtag is just a geographic location, or sometimes it's a very basic word, copywriting,
so you can
florist.
You can click on it to see who else is using the same hashtag.
Sure, it's a very searchable term.
Why would you do that?
It helps you connect with other influencers. It helps you understand or gravitate towards other people that either might be your competitors or might be collaborators that you can start working with as well, which is a very important thing.
Lauren Bartley, on Facebook particularly, you can use the at symbol and that links to other Facebook pages. Does hashtags work for Facebook the same as they do for Instagram?
Yeah, hashtags are a search tool on both platforms. Mm-hmm. However, they're used differently on the different platforms. So it's not until a couple of years ago that Facebook actually started accepting the use of hashtags. So they actually became searchable. People were using them, but they just didn't make any sense because you couldn't click through to them.
Yeah.
And there's still, I feel, a little bit of pushback on Facebook for people who are using lots of hashtags because it's not something that people are used to doing over the time. And they expect to see that on Twitter. They expect to see it on Instagram, but not so much on Facebook. And I've also found, and this is one of the things where testing is so important, for some of the clients we deal with, when they use hashtags on Facebook, they get a lot less reach in the content that they're sharing. It's not always the case, but it's sometimes can be. So I'd say limit the hashtags on Facebook maybe to one if possible, like three maximum, and maybe go a bit more nuts on something like Instagram where you can use up to 50. But even if you're doing that on Instagram, my recommendation would be to use maybe one or two within the context of the post and then put the majority of them within the first comment. So they still become searchable, but it doesn't look so spammy.
Ah, that's a great tip. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. I've seen that. I never understood why they did that. Now I do.
Yep.
And you can you use hashtags on Twitter as well?
Yes, you can. Within the character limits, obviously.
Bonnie Power, can you use hashtags on LinkedIn? So if you're doing an article or a post on LinkedIn, should you be using hashtags or not?
That's a good question. And I don't use hashtags at all. So,
Well,
Lauren knows.
They're not actually searchable in the same way on LinkedIn as they are in the other platform. But there are some things. I do know that LinkedIn has an ability to actually internally use them, but and they do use that. Particularly, there's a little bit of a hack if someone's trying to get their content seen by the LinkedIn publishers. I can't remember what the hashtag is, but there's one you can put in that they keep track of, and that can help you with the promotion of your content. But it's not something that generally from user to user is used on the platform.
Let's talk about reach. You mentioned reach on Facebook, and Marcus, I'm particularly also interested in your view on this. What's the difference between reach and engagement? Let's say on Facebook. Okay, explain. Please explain.
Reach really is a vanity metric. So, you know, you like a newspaper can reach a whole heap of people, but that doesn't really mean anything if the people haven't actually taken your desired action. So even things which are further along the chain of importance, things like click-through rates. A lot of people get excited about the number of people that have clicked on something, but that still doesn't mean a great deal because it's like, well, what have they done? Viewed the content for how many seconds? Like, have they actually, has that resulted in any business improvement for you? So the things I like to focus more about are conversion rates. And so they're the things where people might have opted in and subscribed to something so that you can now communicate with them via email, or have they actually clicked through to purchase? Have they joined some sort of group? What have they done that is allowing you to, actually continue that business relationship? But in terms of engagement on Facebook, we can now engage in so many ways. We can engage by just stopping and viewing the content. That is a signal to Facebook that you're interested in it. We can engage by clicking. We can engage by reacting in all those different ways that we can react now. And even the angry reaction is actually a positive influence back to a positive signal back to Facebook that you're interested and engaged,
you've engaged
in the content.
In it, yeah.
And then we can comment, and then the holy grail of engagement is the share. Because the more you can get other people sharing your content,
that's the holy grail.
Well, it amplifies your content.
Yep.
So we invest in Facebook advertising to amplify our content. But if we're getting other people sharing our content on our behalf for free, then really that is they're adding to that a whole other level of authenticity to it, because they're pretty much endorsing that content and say, hey, I think this is pretty good, you should check that out, which is so much more powerful than you standing up there saying, hey, I think my stuff's really important, you should check it out.
I like your term, the vanity, what did you call it?
Vanity metrics.
Vanity metrics. So the reach is a vanity metrics, but also likes, and you know, people get distracted by the likes. Oh, I've got 5 likes. And all that means, if you actually think about it, someone's clicked, they like it for like a second, and then they've moved on to something else. So they're not really engaged.
Yeah, but having said that, they're still important, because the more that people do engage by doing any of those things that I've mentioned, that feeds into Facebook's algorithms. Mm. And then the more engagement you've got in a post, the more interesting that Facebook thinks the content is, and the more reach it then gives it to other people, which then has the, they can then engage further, and it can increase the lifespan of the content that you're sharing.
I think also understanding total reach is about the starting basis of any platform, of what is available to you in terms of inventory of number of consumers.
So okay, so it's like a clue.
It is. It's a beginning point to say, you know, we know that Facebook has over 15 million people in Australia on the platform. It doesn't mean when you put an ad there you're going to reach 15 million people. You get a choice depending on how much you spend and by lots of different other segments of how many in totality is your absolute available reach. So it's a good starting point. And again, depending on what the goal of your campaign is, it's how you would rate the importance of those different types of actions, I think, that Lauren's talking about. Because if there's a large brand that's literally looking for a branding exercise or positioning, then just having views and just having likes is a really great acceptable thing, because maybe it's over a period of time, we've got a 3-month strategy that we're just trying to bring the brand to the forefront of people's minds and not looking for an action at that time. But once we get to the end of the 3-month campaign, that's when we're looking for action. There's lots of ways to approach it. And some of those, when we talk about sequential messaging, where we're beginning just to position a brand or position a statement or to get people ready for a sale or an offer, there's all kinds of ways to approach it.
And is advertising on Facebook still as good value as it has been in the past, do you think?
Yeah, I would say it's more than ever in my view, just because the data gets better all the time.
Yeah, and you can really target your audience.
And
then
you can start really small. So I'd say something for small businesses to realise is that you can geo-target ads to a radius, just in a short radius span around your particular business. So for small businesses, if they want to target local areas, it means they don't have to have wastage of spend on areas that aren't relevant to them. And that's something really powerful.
Bonnie Power, can you advertise on LinkedIn? I think you can, can't you? And what's it about?
Yes. Yeah, you can. Mm. And I investigated this last year. And the long and the short of it is that unless you've got a good $20,000 to build your brand, it's not really a good ROI.
Yeah, okay. So it's not real. Well, there's a real opportunity for LinkedIn there, isn't there, too?
Definitely.
Promote some small business stuff. Andrea Rowe, can you advertise on Instagram?
Yes, you certainly can advertise on Instagram.
Oh, can you?
Yes, yeah. It's, again, like Facebook, it's an incredible opportunity to actually extend your reach, to drill down into target markets. This platform's evolving. It's changing constantly at the moment. There's some great potential. We're seeing some really good brands come through with Instagram advertising at the moment as well. So you're probably seeing, if you're on Instagram now, in your feed, you're seeing the sponsored posts come in, and fantastic opportunities there to take you through to landing pages and actually have some action that comes out of it. And I think Australian brands are starting to take that up a lot more.
We're going to talk a bit more about how to be more effective if you're a small business with advertising on social media. And also we're going to, as we're coming to the end of the show, leave you with some useful tips that you can actually take away. So you don't have to have a $20,000 budget if you have and LinkedIn's your thing. Great. If not, then we have some other alternatives and some good tips. So we're going to talk about that on the other side of this break. We hope you're enjoying eavesdropping on this fascinating conversation. We'll be right back after this. Welcome back to Taking Care of Business. We are talking about untangling social media, and we're going to finish off the show with one thing. That was One Direction for those that didn't know that. And we're not talking One Direction. There's lots of directions we're talking today in social media platforms. And We have here in the studio Marcus Betchell, Lauren Bartley, Bonnie Power and Andrea Rowe, my very highly esteemed, I don't know, experts is the right word. You've got an issue with that word, Marcus Betchell, haven't you?
I said
you
it the don't last like time I came. Well, the last time I came in, I said to you the same thing. I sometimes when I get introduced as a social media expert, I always think the rate of change is so fast that it's almost impossible to be across everything. So when people position themselves as a guru I've heard or an expert, sometimes I feel like I could walk out of here and be redundant because changes happen so quickly.
So how do you describe yourself as a fan? Social media fan?
Pass.
Oh, yeah. have you got a term that you like to describe yourself as?
No, I think I just say that I work in social and digital and I really enjoy that.
Okay, that's good.
Or you could be an advocate.
That's great.
Trust a wordsmith to come up with something. I should have asked Andrea Rowe that question in the beginning. Bonnie Power, talking about LinkedIn, and I just want to spend a little bit more time on that because it is a key channel for businesses. And I'm wanting to understand the difference between writing an article and writing a post. So if you go onto LinkedIn, you'll see on your profile it'll have article or post. So those that write an article, you go to quite a bit of effort and time and effort to do that. And then there's the post as well. So what's the difference between the two?
Yeah, so that's a great question because LinkedIn's changed its wording. So the articles now are the thought leadership. They're the long form where, you could have it in 300 or 1,000 words. So that's something that you really want to pay attention to, get at least 6 really good articles that are showing your ideal type of client your general knowledge in the area of your expertise. Yep. And then the little posts are things that you could do like 2-3 times a day on LinkedIn because the thing is that you want your name to be coming up in the feed of your your prospective clients and your referral partners. So that's the difference between posts and articles. Good.
What's your advice on accepting LinkedIn requests from people you don't know?
Yes, good question. You don't know who's referring you. So if someone is in Melbourne and they want to connect up with you, I say yes, because it's like that you don't know who they know. But if someone's like in a different country and, is doing SEO expert and, you think maybe not, they're not going to perhaps help me.
But you don't know who they know.
That's true.
Because I asked that question a while ago because I used to only accept people that I knew, thinking that was the right thing to do. And someone said, no, just accept all of them because, like Facebook, can you block them and can you
un- You can.
Okay.
There's this tribe of women from working in a skincare organisation from the States who are connecting up with, every Australian woman in Australia. And then the first thing that they do once you've accepted their connection is they'll send you this message on, sales message about their skincare. Yeah. So I just block them.
You can do that. Andrea Rowe, did you have a LinkedIn question for Bonnie?
Mine was actually just about publishing your own posts versus sharing information. Are people still publishing their own posts? I know that we're all, we're tight for time. Can people still actually find time to do that? And what do you advise them to do?
Yeah, great question. It's the cream of the crop. It's the people who go the extra mile who are going to really reap the rewards of social media, especially LinkedIn. And if you can put the effort in maybe once a month or once every couple of months to create a really good article that shows your opinions on things, your name, your reputation over time, it's a slow burn. People will just remember you because you're not spitting out spammy or cheap posts and articles that could have been written by anyone. This is your opinion pieces. Mm-hmm. And I totally endorse that because it's not many people are prepared to do it. So if you do it, you're going to get the results.
Okay, so I think we've established today that Facebook advertising and Instagram advertising is something to consider for particularly for small business. And I know, Lauren Bartley, you had something to add to that.
Yeah, well, before Andrea mentioned that, Instagram's becoming a good platform for advertising on, I'm not sure that everyone's aware that it's the same tool for advertising on Facebook or Instagram. So the data that Facebook is actually collecting from both platforms and then giving us back to us as businesses and marketers of our business to then be able to target our ideal customers is amazing. So you mentioned before about LinkedIn advertising and how expensive LinkedIn is from an advertising point of view. A lot of people think, oh, well, you know, my people are on LinkedIn, they're not on Facebook. Well, chances are that they are on Facebook. They might not be using it for business purposes, but you can still target them that way. And you can target them by job titles, you can target them by where they live, by you know, what profession they're in. There's all sorts of things that you can do. You can even do household income. Like, there's some pretty scary, like, mechanisms you can target. So if you know your ideal customer, like Marcus mentioned before, and you can input that data into the, you know, the audience creation tools that Facebook allows within its platform, you can then target them really effectively within both Facebook and Instagram.
Sadly, we've come to the end of a show. I know there's so much more to talk about, but I just want to leave everyone with one key tip. So, Lauren Bartley, have you got one key tip for our listeners to leave them with?
Yeah, so Facebook has an algorithm that determines, and Instagram as well, what does and doesn't show up in people's newsfeed. And when new tools come out, they favour them and they try to give them more reach. And at the moment, the things that are getting significant amount of reach are video, and in particular live video. And from an advertising point of view, they're actually cheap to promote that content as well. So I would say do more video.
More video. Okay, Marcus Betchell.
I'd just say don't forget the basics, like I said at the start. Try and find out who your audience is. Do some research. And even by doing that, do some test and learn and scale slowly. It's where your success will come.
That's good advice. Bonnie Power, for LinkedIn, what's your key tip?
I would love everyone to get at least three great recommendations that over the next 12 months to really add that social proof, so that when their prospective clients are looking at their profile, they can see that they've got a past demonstrated experience in providing results.
So those recommendations are like testimonials, but you can actually send, please recommend me.
You can do that.
Yeah. Okay. So to explore
10,
that.
Yeah, send 10 invitations and you might get three back.
Yeah, all right.
And then you've just got to follow up with the rest.
Okay, that's good. Andrea Rowe, and Instagram tip, please.
I'll just stick with the hashtags again. Please use them and actually start interacting with other people using those same hashtags because you're actually being observed, engaging there as well.
Wonderful. Thank you to our guests today, Marcus Betchell, Lauren Bartley, Bonnie Power, Andrea Rowe. Wonderful, fascinating discussion today. Really appreciate you all coming into the studio. Hope you've enjoyed it as much as I have. I also just would like to mention that Taking Care of Business is starting a competition today. It's running for the next month, and it is actually winning two tickets to ByteCon, which is a conference happening here in Mornington. It's an exclusive business and technology conference targeting small and medium business owners on how to stay ahead in business. And if you want more information, head to Taking Care of Business's Facebook page to win two tickets, and we'll announce those over the next couple of weeks. We hope you've enjoyed eavesdropping on our fascinating conversation today. We look forward to your company next Friday at 11 a.m. In the meantime, keep taking care of your business.